This Wednesday marks the 100th anniversary of writer John Steinbeck's birth. As part of our Present at the Creation series, NPR's Brian Naylor examines Steinbeck's most influential work, his 1939 novel, The Grapes of Wrath.
It's one of the classic American novels, with themes that include family, westward migration, poverty, bigotry, oppression, and hope. It was a bestseller, a Pulitzer Prize winner, and has inspired artists and writers as diverse as Woody Guthrie, T.C. Boyle, and Rage Against the Machine. It continues to be taught in high school classrooms to this day. All that, and it's a pretty good read. By the late 1930s, John Steinbeck was already a well-known writer, with the novels In Dubious Battle and Of Mice and Men behind him. He was asked by a San Francisco newspaper to write a series of pieces on migrant workers in California. Susan Schillinglaw is director of the Center for Steinbeck Studies at San Jose State University and editor of a new collection of Steinbeck's nonfiction.
He was so appalled that this writer, who was basically apolitical in the early 30s, really became politicized, in part because I think his feelings were engaged, his anger, his outrage at the situation. And he had to write. He had to do something about it.
What Steinbeck saw were thousands of families arriving in California fleeing years of drought in the southern plains, the Dust Bowl. They were lured by the promise of jobs picking produce. What they found instead was a shortage of housing, resentment by local people who derisively called the newcomers Okies, and worst of all, far fewer jobs than available workers. Schillinglaw says it moved Steinbeck, who knew then he wanted to write what he called a big book, but it was a struggle.
He was determined to tell the story, but I don't think he knew quite how to tell it because he was so appalled. And I think it took him a long time to figure out the structure of The Grapes of Wrath.
Steinbeck started with a draft, calling it The Oklahomans, but dissatisfied with its progress, he destroyed it. Though he may have struggled with the novel's form, Steinbeck assuredly did not suffer writer's block. During this time, he cranked out a daily journal and was a prodigious correspondent. Ohio University professor Robert DeMott edited a collection of Steinbeck's journals, Working Days.
He would warm up either by writing letters to his friends or his agent or his publisher or his editor. Then he would turn to his daily workbook, in which he would maybe make a paragraph or two paragraph entry talking about what it was he planned to do for that day. And then once he was done with that, he would turn to the manuscript of the novel itself.
Steinbeck wrote 2,000 words a day, more or less. When asked later why he wrote, Steinbeck made the act of putting words to paper sound positively sensual.
I find joy in the texture and tone and rhythms of words and sentences. And when these happily combine in a structure that has texture and tone and emotion and design and architecture, then there comes a fine feeling of satisfaction and rest, like that which follows good and shared love.
After 100 days of writing, what finally emerged was the tale of the Joad family, Ma and Pa, sons Tom and Al, the pregnant daughter Rose of Sharon, the lapsed preacher Jim Casey, and others. They pile their worldly possessions on a beat-up 1925 Dodge and set out for California along Route 66. It was a journey thousands made in real life, including Earl Shelton. A boy of 7, Shelton arrived at a migrant camp in California 2 years after The Grapes of Wrath was published. Based on Shelton's experience, Steinbeck got it right, including his description of the government-built migrant camps.
In my life, I do believe coming from Oklahoma into a place that had a flush toilet, I believe that's the most advanced in my life, even the men going to the moon. It was quite a difference.
Like Earl Shelton's real-life family, the Joads struggled to survive. There were bullying police and unsympathetic bosses. The story builds to a climax with a flood of biblical proportions, and then the startling and sentimental ending where Rose of Sharon gives her breast to a starving man. The book was an immediate success, selling 500,000 copies in the year it came out. With the success came controversy, Robert DeMott.
Steinbeck was attacked as being a communist sympathizer and completely off base in regard to his facts. And these kinds of allegations went on back and forth. His life was threatened at one point. So it was a very, very dicey period for him in a lot of ways.
The book led to congressional hearings on the conditions faced by migrant workers and changes in labor laws. It continues to have an impact. In 1995, writer T.C. Boyle published The Tortilla Curtain, in which Mexican immigrants update Steinbeck's tale.
This is what one of his characters had to say about the Okies. They ain't human. A human being couldn't live like they do. A human being couldn't stand it to be so dirty and miserable. So that is the epigraph I chose for The Tortilla Curtain, and of course I'm directly influenced by Steinbeck and trying to think about his ethos in terms of a new reality of 1995.
Boyle calls The Grapes of Wrath a great story that's still relevant. Some critics have been less kind, calling it sentimental and middlebrow. Some in Oklahoma remain angry with Steinbeck for painting their state as a place to escape from. In 1940, filmmaker John Ford released the movie version of The Grapes of Wrath. Henry Fonda played Tom Joad, speaking Steinbeck's famous mystical words.
Wherever there's a fight so hungry people can eat, I'll be there. Wherever there's a cop beating up a guy, I'll be there. And when the people are eating the stuff they raise and living in the houses they build, I'll be there too.
Steinbeck once said that when he wrote The Grapes of Wrath, he was filled with anger at people who were doing injustices to other people. His expression of that anger became an icon of American letters that continues to enrich and inform more than 60 years later. Brian Naylor, NPR News.